Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Bear hunting in Connecticut.
No.
It could become legal.
Really?
This is in response to a bear attack.
It wasn't an attack.
I don't like the word attack here.
It wasn't an attack.
Like, you got to give me more information if you're going to say attack.
Yeah, you had to run in with a bear, okay? Bear was there. You were there.
Happened in Southbury over the weekend, and now two senators are calling for a bear hunting bill to pass.
Of course, because there's nothing other things going on right now that we need to take care of. Let's take care of the bears first.
Senator Eric Berthel and Senator Craig Miner are warning fellow legislators that incidents like this that happened in Southbury will increase if bear hunts not instituted to control the population. And the info they give is, and this is according to the Deep, that the bear population in the northwest part of the state is growing at 10% per year.
How about worrying about the fact that we're the only state in the whole damn like country that like actually has a higher poverty level now? Mm-hmm. I'm working on that stuff. How about working on a budget first? There's an idea. There's an idea.
Well, we have a budget. It's a bad one, but we have one.
Yeah. Right. How about fixing the economy first, and then worry about the bears later on? How's that sound?
Right.
Or just leave them alone.
Put the bears to work. Can you train them?
Exactly. Right.
Like, have them do the highway work.
Right.
We've seen them juggle before.
Not the important highway work. You know, like clean up trash along the road.
Things like that. Yeah, like in Jungle Book.
The stuff the highway department doesn't want to do, you know?
Right.
Bears seem to like trash anyway. I feel like that's a win-win.
Yeah. Exactly, right.
Trapper Don, is the bear population growing 10% per year?
Yeah, from what I heard, it's pretty much about that, from what I hear from the biologist. Yep.
All right.
It's growing very fast.
You think that bear hunting would solve our problem? And do we have a problem?
Yeah, it's becoming a problem. Connecticut's too small. The population's growing too fast. They need to institute a bear hunt before something tragically happens. This Saturday in Southbury, Sunday I got a call. Mile from my house right in Meriden, good 250-pounder walked out of Hubbard Park into a neighborhood. So, you know, there's just too many bears. I think Craig Miner's right. Craig Miner actually tried to get a bear hunt pass last year, and they shot it down.
Shot it down.
Down to the ground.
Is that a pun?
They'll shoot that.
No pun intended.
And then they shot it.
You know, I'm not convinced. You know, the bears, I don't know. I don't want to say they were here first, but, you know.
They were here first, yes.
Well, they were here first, and then, you know, then they were gone, and the population, again, is just getting so far out of control.
How many bears will a female bear have per year?
Usually about two.
Two?
Okay.
Yeah, could have up to three.
All right. So
it's a normal family size.
We're going up 10% a year.
Yeah.
How many do we think we have now?
I'm not sure on the exact numbers. I know it's well over 1,000, I think it is.
All right. So you don't know.
No, I don't know the numbers on that.
When I hear the numbers, I'm like, how do they know this?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, that's bear
senses. Like, you didn't go like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wait a minute, 7. Were you over there at 3? There's 3 and 7.
Yeah.
They actually do quite a bit of studies on them. They track them like we did with the bobcats. They collar them, and they ear tag them all the time.
Yeah. This attack, did you hear anything about this? Because it doesn't sound like an attack. It sounds like a guy was running through a path and, like, the bear was out for a run and they just ran into each other.
Yeah.
I haven't heard. I actually saw it on Facebook, and I was trying to get the link sent to you. But unfortunately, I got 10 days ban on Facebook, but that's another story.
Yes.
And I
Why?
Get
what did you
po- so
Hold on. Side note. What did you post? What did
you do?
You killing an animal?
No, I just... Somebody went on and...
All right, never mind.
Recorded 5 of my posts. But anyway.
What? Dead animals or?
Oh, no, some other thing.
Guns?
Actually, one of them was a dead animal. One of my dead deer pictures that I had harvested. But okay. That's a whole different story.
All right, whole different story. All right, so go ahead. So
I haven't had a chance to make any phone calls, but seeing things, I guess the guy was hiking in the woods and he came across a bear.
All right, so you saw the same thing I did.
Him.
All right, I thought you might have some.
Much,
All right. You know what I know.
Yes.
Which is nothing.
We know nothing.
I'm not saying you're supposed to know stuff. I just thought you may know something more than I do.
I'm waiting on some phone calls. I have made some phone calls, but people just didn't get back to me yet. Pretty much, yeah, I know what you know. It didn't maul them or anything like that.
How can no one talk to this person? Like, someone had to talk to this person, like the police, deep.
Someone.
Like, you can't use the word attack and then say non-life-threatening. Okay, there's a big scale between I stubbed my toe and I had multiple broken bones, but not life-threatening. Stitches, not life-threatening. But, right. Wow, that's horrible. What was the extent of the attack?
I'm not sure on it.
No, I know. I just asked you that and you had none.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So you recommend bear hunt.
Yes, sir.
All right. And how would that work?
Well, that would probably be like a lottery system. That would be up to Deep and, you know, for them to figure it out.
Lottery.
Where you could pay for extra tags. And if you're deer hunting or something and you see a bear, you could possibly harvest it. That's probably
harvest.
How
it is somewhere. That is that the new word for kill it?
Well, pretty much. Kill it, shoot it, but yeah.
All right, harvest.
So you harvest them now.
That's nice. I like that you guys now are getting PC.
What a fine harvest we have.
No, because it's like, hey, if they're going to play that game, we're going to play it too.
Yes.
We don't kill them. We harvest them.
We harvest them.
It's no different than an ear of corn.
That's right.
No,
right.
Harvest is corn and tomatoes.
We planted them, now we harvest them.
What about pumpkins?
I picture a field with a bunch of bear heads popping up.
Exactly. Right.
Wow. Got a great harvest of bear over there.
That's right.
Look at my fine bear crop.
I planted those 2 years ago.
Most needed to plant, they kept on crawling back out the hole.
Fertilized the soil with honey.
One took me 6 freaking hours to get him down in there.
That's my secret.
Hey, you stay down there, goddammit. I'll feed you, relax.
What'd you harvest in, Clem? Bears.
I don't care. I got the black bears. I got the grizzly bears over there. I got the polar bears over there in the freezer.
Little early for them right now, but...
You know, this one here did something really weird for a Klondike bar.
This guy won't stop drinking Coca-Cola.
This guy's got some kind of bottled water.
Boy. You
Let's pull this
watch.
One out. We'll put him on a ball and watch him dance around.
Check it out. That one's really good on a bicycle.
You would buy tags, and each tag represents a bear?
Yeah, if they did it, obviously it's going to be a tag system. And yeah, if you're sitting there hunting, you can, you know, take the bear and they, you know, unless they come up with an emergency type of hunt, which I don't think they would do, you know.
Yeah, in the winter though, they're hiding, aren't they? Hibernating.
They sleep.
They're not. Our bears really aren't true hibernators, but you could say they're hiding, you know.
Where do they
go to the caves and stuff?
I just imagine like a game of peekaboo. Right. Like they're hiding.
Well, yeah.
Hey, a lot of them do not hibernate.
Peek out behind a tree?
Right. Is that a bear? No, it's not. No.
Right. It's walking around with a curtain rod on his head.
Right. And you know, I can see you, right? I can see you.
Sunglasses.
I see you.
Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday. There's not enough caves for them to all go and rest
right. In
the winter. Where do they go?
They're travelers. I mean, they do go find the caves. There's probably a lot more caves.
No, this is what I think about when it's really cold and it's snowing and it's horrible. I'm like, where are the animals right now?
Yep.
A lot of them are like the deer. Where do they go? Nowhere. They bed down outside. They sleep all night, or, you know, walk around and sleep, and they're out there in the cold.
All right, so the same thing. So you could be walking through the woods. And all of a sudden, out of a snowdrift, can come a bear. Like,
right.
Rah,
that just moved.
Right. How long was I sleeping?
It's cold out here.
Yeah.
No,
I need a bear skin jacket. Oh, wait. I need a fur coat. All right. So you recommend bear hunting.
Yeah, I'm all for a bear hunt. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, my brother.
I'm all for beer hunting.
You guys have a great day.
All right, Trapper Don. Thank you.
Let's go beer hunting instead.
Trapper Don.
Mm. We need a bear harvest season.
Right.
Mm.
I love this.
It's bear harvesting.
Mm. Like, oh, you guys want to get politically correct with your words?
Yes.
We will too.
We're going to harvest bears.
We're going to harvest. I'm a bear harvester.
Right.
Here's my bear harvesting machine.
Exactly. You use a John Deere, I use a Remington. Sometimes you use a Remington on your John Deere.
Bear hunting.
Mm. Harvesting.
I've had bear at one of those game dinners.
Yeah.
It's not great.
I heard it's kind of like gamey.
It's gamey.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. Why don't you just give me a carpet with barbecue sauce on
here's
it?
Here's a thought. We don't have to eat everything. We don't have to eat every single thing on the planet.
Or kill everything.
Yeah, I don't know where I am on this yet, but if a population is growing 10% a year, you have to start thinking, what are we going to do?
Tax them. They'll leave them myself.
I think you just got it. Jennifer, everybody.
Hello, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, guys. Good morning. So almost daily, I go through my checking account, you know, online, just checking to make sure my transactions are accurate. And you guys were talking about this morning. I have a transaction, a debit card transaction for my checking account that was somewhere in Massachusetts 3 days ago. And I was not in Massachusetts 3 days ago.
But did you buy something online from Massachusetts?
No, I did not.
Was that theory?
Nope.
That's so scary. How much is it for?
It's for $20. So
no, but this is
whatever.
All right. So I have Webster, and they're great. They'll shut stuff down. You have to tell them you're traveling out of state because if they get a ping from New Jersey,
right.
They'll call you right away and say, "What's going on?
What happened
in New Jersey?"
Right.
I had a conversation with someone about this on the phone. And they said, yeah, they try to keep it around $20 because, you know, most people don't notice that stuff and it doesn't raise any red flags.
Yeah.
They're flying under the radar. So, you know, it's not like you're going to notice a big difference in your balance.
Oh, man. So, I don't check my thing every day.
No, I do.
I just check to make sure my check gets deposited.
I know I'm broke, so I'm good.
I just want to make sure the money's coming in. I don't really look at what's going out.
Right.
Well, now I'm worried because as soon as I get in touch with my bank, I just want to make sure that nothing else happens between now and when I get in touch with them, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's very concerning.
That sucks.
Yeah. Yep.
Now you got to go through every line by line and make sure it's all stuff that you purchased, right?
Exactly. That's what I've been doing for the last half hour this morning.
Oh, fun.
So. Right.
Everything else made sense. Everything else was accurate.
These people are who are these people?
Who are these people?
Right.
Why are you doing this? For God's sake, no!
But this is why you can't buy anything online, because you don't know if someone there will get into the system and take your number for,
Yeah.
To rip you off.
Luckily, I sent the money to the Nigerian prince to me $1 million, so.
What's that, AJ?
Luckily, I sent all that money to the Nigerian prince.
Oh, so you have more money coming.
More money coming,
you're
right.
Be rich soon.
Exactly. I'm the only person you contact in the United States.
That was the first scam I ever saw. That was like 20 years ago, wasn't it? Just when email was getting started.
Thereabouts, yeah. So I'm still waiting, but it's coming.
Maybe more than 20.
Right.
All right. Keep us posted.
I will. I'll be in touch with my bank this morning. Oh,
all
my
right.
God.
Love you.
All right, guys.
Bye.
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 Wow. Mm. We were just talking about it just now.
Yes.
Have you ever had that happen to you?
Me, no. Get that money.
Bad people ran a credit check on AJ, like, waste of time.
They're like, oh, someone's hit him already.
Chin strap.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
Good. So my brother is down in basic training in Fort Benning in Georgia, and my mom's been checking his accounts, and he had like $1,000 in the account. She went online and checked it the next day, and there was $11. He can't. He's in basic training. He's not spending any money. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, man.
Whoops.
So then she called the bank, and the bank was like, well, we sent him a text message to check and see if the transactions were real. She's like, he's in basic training. He doesn't have a phone.
Whoops.
And then they gave her a hard time about closing out the account and stuff. But you guys are talking about those RFID wallets. They work really well.
I didn't even know someone could walk up to you and scan your pocket or pocketbook and get your information.
No idea. High tech. High tech stuff now. Damn it.
All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Ashley got ripped off, and she thinks that someone scanned her purse and read the chip in her card.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's what the bank told her.
I literally had the card in my possession in my wallet the entire time.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PR. And then Jennifer called in and said that she had a $23 charge that she didn't make. Hey.
Hey.
You know, you know what that was?
No.
Your scarf from the Durham Fair.
But it was Durham.
But the vendor is Massachusetts.
Oh.
And that's one for the books.
Oh,
I can't take God. I can't take credit. I can't take credit for that. Sarah's on the road, and she called in and said she was at the Big E last week.
Similar thing, yeah.
Same thing happened.
Right.
I'm like, oh, I have to roll out the news. Sorry, Sarah. Oh, I took it from you.
Yes.
Hey, I feel stupid, but very relieved. I'll take the stupidity.
I can hear your face red right now.
Yeah. I can feel
it. My checking account has been hacked in the past. I mean, it's a really disturbing thing. You have to shut everything down. It's a giant pain in the ass.
Okay, well, so we were at the Hartford St. Patrick's Day parade, and they smashed the back window of my car and took her purse.
Are you serious?
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. And then we had footage of the guy who took the card walking out of Walmart with a flat screen.
Nice. Oh, my God.
And the funny thing is at the time, Chaz and I wanted to buy a new
I wanted a flat
bedroom.
Screen.
Maybe he bought it for you. You didn't know where to go, though. You moved the car.
Like, how do you get one and I don't get one?
You moved the car, Chaz. He was going to bring it to the car. He smashed the window, put it in.
I just wanted a little one. I'm like, whatever, man.
Yeah. All right. So good news. You didn't get hacked. All right.
That is what happened.
Yep. All right. See?
It's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Case
love
closed.
You.
Okay. Love you guys. Take care.
Bye. Sarah on the road.
Sarah? Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem.
I just
it happened to my mother-in-law last week. She had like a Florida charge in Arizona or something, and her bank shut her card off.
Mm. And then it turned out to be the Big E?
Everything was at the Big E, yeah.
There you go, see?
Right, so every vendor's from a different state.
So you gotta pay cash.
Yeah, so her bank was like, you know, bouncing around the United States. We should shut this off.
Right.
My bank didn't do that. They just continue to let this person take money from everywhere. Like, why didn't they do that?
Yeah, get a new bank.
Oh, my God.
She goes to WeSuck. WeSuck Bank?
You're very funny today. All right, thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good day.
You too. Webster Bank is terrific. I don't know if they're a client or not, but, man, they shut stuff down fast.
They do, man. We're hurting on it.
Ooh. Linda from Southington.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Fine, thanks. You.
Good. Hi, Ashley.
Hi.
I was at work at the post office like 25 years ago, and I'm sitting there, and the bank calls me, and they're saying the credit card, and they're saying, well, you know, we think there's some suspicious activity on your card. And I'm like, okay, I'm at work, so I guess there is. And they're like, okay, so they bought $9,000 worth of flowers in New York. And then when they tried to get the boat, which was like a $17,000 boat.
Wow,
$17,000. They shut
them
off.
Wow.
Yeah, they shut them off.
How much? So $9,000 worth of flowers.
Right, it's either a wedding or a funeral. I don't know which.
One or two.
Wow.
Or they were like flowers.
Wow. Yeah. And then the honeymoon gift.
Let's take it. Yeah.
Got your boat, hon.
Look at that.
And that was the boat. Yeah. And
it's
then
a love
I
boat.
Said, well, geez, I'm at work and I didn't make either of these charges. And they were like, okay, we'll take care of it.
Did they catch the person?
I don't really know because the way they got my card is I went online one time and bought a fathead.com for my husband.
What's, oh.
You know them fatheads, the big.
Yeah. And the team or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep, yep, yep.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
He wanted one of those.
That's
so I
what
went
sucks.
Online and ordered it for Christmas.
This right. is why I go on Amazon, because I just feel like they're really secure.
It's secure,
if they, if they have a bad time with that, all of a sudden their business goes off.
So they have to be on it.
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
They have to be on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when it's Bank of America, they can make up the difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right.
I have Bank of Bobo.
Thank you. Have a great day, guys.
Corey in Durham.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how
hello.
You
doing?
I was quick one. I was up in ski vacation with my wife. We get a. She has an app that shows what purchases go on, and someone's using it in Vegas. So we call real quick to say, "Hey, that's not us. Obviously, we're up skiing." And they said, oh, someone's using it right now. I'm like, great, call the cops. And they go, well, we don't do that. They go, it's just part of operating expense, the losses. And I wow. was dumbfounded that they wouldn't even go after the guy.
Because they were using it.
But, you know, live and learn. I got my, they freeze the account and I got new cards the next day, but they don't even care.
Right.
You know. And another quick one is, if you're going to order something, don't use your cell phone. Try to use a landline, because they can record cell phones just with a scanner you can buy online.
Yeah.
And they can write down all your information.
Wait, what? Oh, man.
Well, but I never use my cell phone to call to order something. I usually, if I use my cell phone, I like do it through the internet. You know what I mean?
All right, so I don't use cash, right? So if I call for a pizza being delivered, I'm giving them my number, right? So, like, this person can, one, take it, or now, two, someone could be monitoring that call.
Pizza.
A lot of people, you know, if you have, if it's a restaurant you use all the time, they keep your card on file.
And yeah,
the
well,
same card? Yes.
You can buy a scanner that does that high-end frequency, and you can just listen to cell phones. So if you're giving all your information and your date of birth and your SKU code on the end, they got it all just writing it down.
Ugh.
So,
how is
well,
that?
Any which way, be happy. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
You too.
Thanks.
On that note,
I like his attitude.
Be happy.
Yeah. Right.
It's true.
Right.
We could all be like AJ, not have any money to steal.
There you go. See? There you go. No worries.
AJ figured it out. Yep. Just don't have it. Spend it before they do.
Exactly. Exactly.
Phil?
Yeah, to piggyback on what Corey just said, we had another caller call in and said that the bank will reimburse you if, I guess, the amount taken from your account is less than $5,000. But because they're reimbursing you, even if you find the person that, like, stole your card and used it in Vegas, you cannot go after them legally.
Really?
Illegally, go after them.
Because I...
With a baseball bat.
Your money's insured through the bank. So once they reimburse you for whatever was taken, they consider the matter closed. And it's up to the bank, not to you, whether you go after the person or not legally.
Interesting. My bank refunded me the $3,000, but I also filed a police report.
And then what happened with that?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Okay, then.
That means the bank was like, we're not going to pursue, and it
or
died.
They didn't find them, right?
Maybe.
Could be.
Maybe.
Frank in North Haven.
Hi. Everyone.
Hello, Frank.
Hey. So my daughter, she uses her debit card for everything. She doesn't even carry cash. So she goes to use her debit card and she gets denied, and she knows she has money in there. So she calls the bank. The bank says, come on in. And she said, the bank said to call the police. Well, she happens to be an office police officer. So she said, I am the police.
So call another one.
I am the police.
What? I'm the cops.
That's how she said it too. I am the police. So she goes into the bank and talks to them, and they took $15,000 from her account.
Damn.
They zeroed out her account.
$15,000.
Yes, 15000.
Jesus.
15,000.
How old is your daughter, and what does she do?
Cop.
So 15,000. So her card is connected. So she has a debit card connected to her checking account. She had 15,000 in her checking account.
Right.
See, this is why you got to have that money over in savings where they can't get at it.
Yes.
And then you leave like 1,000 or two in your checking.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But young kids don't do that.
Yeah.
You know. They don't think about that.
How does she have $15,000 in her account?
Well, she was looking to buy a house, so she's been saving money.
Did she get her money back?
Yes. She goes into the bank and asks, well, what am I going to do? So they actually made good for it. They put the $15,000 back in her account.
Nice. Wow. That's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they probably have insurance for this kind of thing.
Right, but that's a lot. I'm surprised they didn't say, like Phil said, we'll cover you up to $5,000, and then the rest you're on your own.
No, they did $15,000. They put the whole thing back. So she went from being a nervous wreck to being happy. At least she got her money back.
Well, here's the thing with that bank. You know, she'll never they have her loyalty now forever.
Yep.
Exactly.
She'll never go anywhere else.
No, I know.
What bank was it?
Loyal Bank.
All right. That's Loyal Bank.
Loyal Bank.
Obviously not the one that I did.
Yes.
I used to.
It's called Not Ashley's Bank.
Exactly right. Yeah. Not We Suck.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
All right. Wow.
It might be worth it now.
So you didn't get your money back, or you did?
I did.
You did, and then they didn't track the person.
Well, the
down.
Cops, I filed a police report, and they were like, do you want us to prosecute? I was like, yeah, absolutely. Arrest.
Get that sucker.
Throw him the book.
I thought you said prostitute. Sorry.
Do you know if the person was in Connecticut?
Throw him a book.
Right.
The book.
At him.
Yeah.
That's it.
At him. Today. Today.
Throw him a book.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Ashley. So, Ashley, what does the law do when they're... Yeah, whatever. Really.
Sometimes Deep Thoughts just end.
It's funnier in the moment.
More like shallow thoughts.
In my head, that was going to be funny.
Unbelievable.
I would have participated.
Josh or Joe from Berlin? Joe?
Hello. Good morning, guys.
Hello,
morning.
Joe. What do you know?
Yeah, so the bank was busting my balls to go to this chip card, which I didn't want to do. And they finally gave me, at the 6 month, they said, you have to get a chip card. All righty, give me the chip card. I got it at 8:10 in the morning when they opened up. By 11 o'clock in the morning, someone bought a computer at Apple Store in West Farms Mall, which made my head fucking blow up.
Hey, you can't say
Apple.
Sorry about that.
I'm sorry.
All right.
But I was very happy with my old card.
If you missed it, because I hit the dump button, he said his head effing blew up.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You know, they said my card needed to have a chip because it's so secure, and I had it for 3 hours.
And
I got hit for $1,200 for a computer.
Wow.
So I don't know what to trust.
Damn, Chip took it.
The shocker here is you can get a Mac for $1,200.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. And right. then I asked them if they could take a video of the person doing it, because
right.
maybe it's the person in the bank that was taking my number.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Inside job.
And, because I did fraud for a police department, and to me, coincidences don't happen. It's, I thought it was an inside job. The guy I talked to with... the bank said, no, sir, it's absolutely, there's no way they can do that. I said, well, isn't it a coincidence after 3 hours, you guys got a hold of my card, it ended up at Apple Store in West Farms Mall, 5 miles from where I am.
Yep.
And they bought a computer. And no, so I don't know. I
Smells
don't trust
fishy.
Anything.
And then did you get your money back?
It took 36 days to get it back.
See, now that's not a bank you're going to stay with, right?
No, but the only thing I'm glad you let me know is I'm going to take most of my money out of my checking account and start a savings account today.
Yeah.
Right. Because I do use my debit card, so thank you very much for that info. I did not know that.
Yeah.
You see?
Well, that's what I do. But, I mean, who knows if I know what I'm doing.
I have no idea what
Definitely
I'm doing.
Definitely not me.
I'm good.
All right, Joe. Thank you, brother. Lots of new laws going into effect today in Connecticut. Here are the ones you need to know about.
No.
And... we'll get some commentary for someone who voted on them.
Yeah.
Themis Claire, this big-time Republican lady in Hartford, on the show now. The meal tax. What do you think about that?
Listen, I didn't vote for any of these, nor did any Republicans in the House or the Senate.
Well, you voted no.
Right. That's why I said I didn't vote for them.
Right, voted down.
Oh, I got you.
Said, no, I don't want these votes.
These were all no votes for you.
I don't want this.
You know, I mean, when you're talking about the grocery tax, correct?
Yeah, it's basically a meal tax.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's remember that since 2002, we've had a prepared foods tax, meaning if you buy something prepared in the grocery store, you're going to pay the same sales tax, 6.35% in the grocery store. But what happened this year? Was the governor and the Democrats in the legislature put in particular language. They said grocery store in this budget that they voted for. And that allowed a Pandora's box to open to almost anything in a grocery store that even can be slightly construed as prepared.
So I don't want to make this too political. I want it to be more informative for us, that new laws.
Right.
But I will agree with you that after he, that mess that was Toll's when he rolled that out, I thought, yeah. Wow, he can't screw up any more than this. And then it was the grocery tax. I'm like, oh.
Okay, I was
surprise.
Wrong.
I guess
wrong.
He could. Hey. I underestimated his ability to screw things up.
Yes.
All right, so the meal tax, there was...
one thing. It's not just him. Nothing. The governor can't do anything. Any governor can't do anything unless the legislature allows it.
Right.
So the
right.
people blame to go along here with the Democrats and the legislature and the governor. So that's the last political thing I'll say.
All right. So the meal tax, there was controversy, and then... it was cleared up. Was it cleared up? Is it not cleared up?
It will never be cleared up unless the legislature goes back into special session and actually takes those words I was talking about out. Because otherwise, they're telling you it's cleared up, and if for today it is, but next week if they feel like changing it, they can snap their fingers and change it because it's still a law on the books.
Yeah. All right. Well, that sucks. There's a booze tax now, right?
There is. There's an increase by 10% on alcoholic beverages, except beer.
Yeah.
Beer.
Okay. So I go buy a bottle of Patron, I'm paying 10% more?
Yes. But the excise tax on state's craft breweries got a cut in the budget. They were reduced by 50%.
All right, I'm trying not to make a comment that is political.
I'm trying not to make a comment, too.
I'm okay. Too drunk to notice.
All right, we're just trying to explain this,
yes.
Right? Okay.
Right, and that's why I'm not making a comment.
Yep,
exactly.
Yep,
right.
Yep. Me, too. I'm
good
biting
move.
My lip.
Good
okay.
As
well-behaved.
Minimum wage increase. So
right,
that would be starting today. So if someone is making minimum wage at your company, yesterday they made, I think, $10.10. Today they make $11 an hour.
Wow.
Right?
Correct. It's increased to $11 per hour starting today, and then it raises by $1 per hour every 11 months after until we get to $15 an hour on June 1st, 2023.
Okay.
Wow.
Smoking age increase.
They called it Tobacco 21, and there's been study after study that shows that the earlier somebody starts smoking, the more dangerous it is to their health. I didn't really have to do a study to figure that out.
Right.
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Thought long and hard
right,
on that one,
is
didn't they?
That's true.
Yeah.
Right? Do you really need to do
political.
A study on that?
That was just a snarky comment.
Yeah.
No.
And common sense, really.
I like snarky.
Yeah, snarky
words. That is true. Like, you don't need... How much money did they spend on a study for that?
Well, there's been numerous studies.
Ah, okay.
Even
all
tell
right,
you
it's a lot.
These studies have been going on for years, but
right.
It increased the age from 18 to 21 to purchase cigarettes, tobacco products, and e-cigarettes.
And that starts today. So if
correct.
You're 19 and you smoke and you go into a store, you're going to be ID'd and you'll be denied cigarettes.
Correct.
So you'll have to stand outside and ask someone to go in and buy them for
exactly.
You.
Exactly, right.
Right, and it also changes fee structures for the licensing and registration of people who sell cigarettes and e-cigarettes, so the dealers.
Oh. Minors can now steal cars.
That's a way to put it.
Right. So we made it basically almost legal to steal a car. So if you get caught stealing a car and you're a minor, you can go through some program that'll teach you that that's bad, and then it'll be wiped from your record, correct?
Basically, yes. The issue is, in the past couple of years, we've all heard of the major increase in basically adults recruiting minors to steal cars because they know that that minor is not going to really get in trouble for it.
Right.
So instead of trying to make that more strict, we actually made it less strict.
Right. Keep that flow going.
Again, I didn't need a study for that.
Yeah, keep right. That flow going. You know, our workers are getting pulled in all the time. Yes. I do something about this. All right.
This doesn't seem like a great idea.
No.
This has been an issue that has been hitting our suburbs in particular for the last several years. You see it. Basically, people say, hey, listen, minor, I know you're not going to get in trouble for this, so you work for me. I'll give you a cut of the money. You steal the car, and I know you'll end up, you'll go to the police department, but nothing's really going to happen to you.
Right.
And that's been something we've wanted to make more strict. Instead, it's been the opposite.
All right. Minors' identities being protected. So, like, let's go through this. The Shakespeare Fire Kids. The right. Shakespeare Theater Fire Kids.
Mm-hmm.
They were minors when they were arrested for this, so now their information will be protected?
I mean, as you know, there's been, for many years now, and it has increased, the question of, does a minor have the capacity to make these serious decisions? And back to the studies, we see that minors' brains are not formed properly until, I think, they say 21, I think is the number, and why they can't be held responsible as an adult would if
right. Wow.
They commit a crime. Now, this is, you know, we're talking about this particular issue, but the issue of actual committing felonies has been going through the legislature for the past many years, and there's a huge difference of opinion on whether you should be treated as an adult or not and what that treatment should be.
Michael Skakel will now be protected.
That
he was a minor when he committed that crime, so he's right. Now protected.
But it happened so many years ago, though. I mean, why would he be protected now? Of him, like,
because he was a
70s.
Minor when he committed the crime.
But is it retroactive, or does it just start from today and move forward?
Well, there's different parts of it. So different, you know, this particular issue. Some of the crimes that are committed are retroactive. Some aren't. Just like the sexual assault bills and expanding the statute of limitations on how long you can claim that you were sexually assaulted, and the statute of limitation does not expire. So those are big, big topics of conversation, and I expect them to keep changing in different ways for several years to come as far as the law is concerned.
Digital tax.
Well, I mean, people need to understand that, you know, digital goods, and that includes anything from Netflix, movies, music, magazines, e-greeting cards, audiobooks, podcasts, video games, and there's so many more in that category. Their sales tax, as of today, will increase from 1% to 6.35%. So Simply put, if an item costs you $10, you'll now pay an additional 64 cents.
Oh, good. I wanted to.
All right.
That's much money my wife.
I like how they increase the minimum wage, right? So it seems like, hey, we're helping. But then they take 10 times that amount
right.
away.
It's amazing.
Hey, we're helping.
Right. No one's going to notice.
No, help themselves, Jazz.
Right.
We say it all the time, that how can you say that a working class person needs more money, minimum wage? And I understand the argument. I mean, I do. The question
yes.
in this state is we have to balance it all, right? We have to balance the fact
that... Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I said something political, and you're taking the ball and running down the field with it. All right.
No, but... It's the truth, though. ShopRite announced in West Hartford yesterday it's closing, and they cited the business climate in the state of Connecticut.
Right,
you know,
and the minimum wage.
All that.
You put into one pocket, you take out of the other. That is not a consistent business policy for any state.
All right, and then I'll talk about the gun laws in an hour, but let me ask you about this first responders thing. I feel like of all the laws, I think I might like this one.
Which one are you talking about?
First responders.
Are you talking about...
So they can claim like a workman's comp if they've seen enough
right.
tragedy.
Gotcha.
Right. I mean, right, as of current law, so as of yesterday, workers' compensation benefits do not cover PTSD treatment unless the worker, which is a firefighter or a,
police.
A parole officer or a police officer, witnessed the death of another colleague while engaged in the line of duty. So unlike other workers' comp coverage, no physical injury is required. But this bill creates a new income replacement program that allows police officers, firefighters, and parole officers who get PTSD on the job, which is unrelated to a physical injury. That's a big difference between former law and now, to receive workers' comp benefits, including mental health. And it also allowed a police officer who has to surrender his or her service weapon during treatment of PTSD to have it returned after treatment. So this has been a bill, which is now a law, that has
we've been working on for several years, and it's been very controversial in a lot of ways, but I think we came to a final result that really protected our police officers, our firefighters, parole officers. There has been a little bit of issue with some other groups that wanted to be included in that law, and I think that's something we have to address in the future.
Like what other groups?
Like EMTs.
Okay.
Oh. Well, they're going to be, they're going to be seeing some bad stuff.
Yes,
too,
they
right?
are. Yep.
So. Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, that seems like a good one, right?
Yeah.
Of all the laws I was looking
that
at.
That one makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, oh, they did one thing that I think, that needed to be done.
One good
Everything
one.
Else, I'm like, really?
This whole is, bunch of bad ones.
You know, yeah. The economy's in a toilet. Let's let kids steal cars.
Exactly. Right. Oh, that's an idea.
All right, Demis, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
So you're standing just a few feet away from Tiger when this happened. I think actually you're on top of him.
Right. Can these people please quiet down for a second? I can't hear them.
Joe LaCava in studio, caddy for Tiger Woods. That was the Masters win from 2019.
Those folks still scream, by the way, just so you know.
I love that Jim Nance just stopped talking and just let the moment happen. Normally, that doesn't happen in sports.
Now
they
Jim
feel
Nance,
like they need to have all these great quotes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Metro sponsor.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you.
It's an honor. Yes. I have a local guy who's, his boss is the most famous athlete in the world.
Yeah.
And you were right there, feet away from him during that win.
Yeah, no, incredible moment. Back in 92, I actually worked for Fred Couples, and he won the Masters in 92. So,
seeing a pattern here.
Well, I don't know if it's a pattern. It's 27 years later. I'd like to be a little sooner next time.
Right,
but
yeah. It was a good pattern.
Two special moments, incredible. The fact that he had a 1.5 footer, I'll be honest with you. Guys told me, said, when did you know he was going to win the Masters? I said, to be honest with you, when he chipped it up on the green, I thought he had it in the bag.
Yeah.
And then he putted about 1.5 by, and I'm like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? Now you're going to try to make one when you don't have to make one?
Yeah.
And then he knocked it in, obviously, and it was an incredible moment, special moment for me, a special moment for him.
Did
coming
you
back
say that to him?
Stuff.
Now you're going to make one when you don't have to make one?
To be honest with you. No, I started going the other way. I started going up towards the back of the green because I don't want to be there for the whole thing, and I actually didn't want to read the putt from 1.5 feet. I wanted no part of that. So yeah. I kind of
went the
other way. What do
you mean, read the putt?
You know, he's got a 1.5 foot putt. I'm not going to read many putts. When I say read the putts, he calls me in for a read. What do you think? Here, this, that, and the other thing. So he's got a 1.5 foot putt straight up the hill. Same thing on 16. He asked me to read the thing. I said to myself, are you kidding me? It's 3 feet straight up the hill. Just bang it in. We're not going to read any putts right now. We just want to hit him firm in the middle of the hole.
So you're acting more of as a confidence booster for him.
Yeah, for sure. During that round on the back nine, because he hadn't been in that position in a while. I always say to people, believe it or not, you know, going through all the injuries and the stuff that he went through, he lacked a little bit of confidence there for a while. So part of my job, or a bigger part of my job, the caddying part's easy, giving him the confidence in himself and the belief in himself to win a big tournament like that, that was half the battle.
Gotcha.
Interesting. So he was asking you for advice. He said, you got this.
Right.
I'm not even giving you advice.
Right, at this point. On small
Damn.
Things like that, a 3 foot or 2 foot like that, you've got this. Like, you have the confidence, you have the ability to do it, just do it.
Well played.
Yeah.
Now, if he missed it, you'd say,
well,
you know, I
story.
Asked you for a read,
right,
Joe. Oh,
well, you didn't ask,
right? Right. You didn't
the
ask
hell,
me,
Joe.
Off the hook, right?
You didn't say please. You didn't say please.
Are there times where, you know, he'll ask you for your advice, you give it, then he'll do something the other way anyway?
Yeah. The key for us as caddies, I think, is, you know, we go back and forth. We're talking about clubs and wind direction and so on and so forth. I always tell people I have an advantage because I have the numbers first. That's my job. I go out there and get the numbers. You know, you got 72 front, the pin's on 18, you got 190, it's downwind, a little downhill. So I have a club in mind, like a 7
it's
or
like
8
It's like being a sniper.
Yeah. A little bit like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wind speed.
Right.
Distance.
The whole 9 yards.
The whole,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Very similar to that. So anyways, I have that advantage over him. So when he comes to me and says, what do you like? I said 7 iron. If he's thinking 6, we discuss why. But the key is...
Discuss why.
Yeah. Well, he'll say, why do you think it's 7? It's 190 yards. I said, well, it's downhill and it's downwind. And I said, the greens are firm. Whatever the circumstances are, I get all that stuff.
I would say just because.
Right.
Because.
I probably should just say that. Maybe I'll try that next time out. Just because.
Can you try that? And like, we'll get a little meme of Tiger's face when you say that.
I can just imagine.
When Joe LaCava says to Tiger, because.
Because. Right. That's it.
Why should it? Because.
Just because I say so.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. And so he doesn't have that information? He doesn't bone up on that? What is he doing?
Well, he's walking down the fairway, probably thinking swing thoughts, so on and so forth. So I get the information, give it to him, and then we decide which club. But the key is, even if I'm thinking seven and I really feel like I'm right and he's thinking six, I want him to be comfortable over the golf ball. So I have to succumb to him if that's what he's really thinking in his mind, because I want him to be comfortable, because I think he'll put a better swing on it if he's comfortable.
Right.
Right. How much of it is mental?
There's a lot of mental, especially at that level. I mean, they're all obviously very gifted and very talented. There's no question about that. But a guy like Tiger or Phil, they're very strong mentally, and they think no one can beat them, and they're, you know, ready to pounce on you and slit your throat kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Mentioned his confidence, and when you came in, confidence wasn't at the highest level.
Right.
So let's go back. He's the greatest golfer in the world. No one could even come close to this guy. And then somewhere around Thanksgiving, he has an accident, the truck, and then the wife, and then all of this stuff is coming out. And then I believe his caddy at the time actually told some stories that maybe were personal and probably should have been private. He gets fired. Now what happens? Tiger calls you, or did he go through other people, or how did that happen?
His agent first initiated the conversation with me, and I was working for a guy named Dustin Johnson at the time, who was an incredible player, nice young kid.
Big time.
Oh, big time player. And so, you know, Tiger's only going to ask once. And it was a tough decision because I knew DJ was going to have a heck of a future and was a good player. But like I said, he's only come around once. And so I said, look, same thing you just got through saying, the greatest player of all time. You know, there are records to be broken. You know, he's on the verge of breaking Sam Snead's record. He's getting closer to Jack. And I thought if I could be a little bit of part of that, that would be fantastic. So I took a shot. When I say I took a shot, obviously I know the guy can play, but I also know that, like you said, he went through some tough times. And then obviously fast forward to the back problem. So there was a lot of downtimes as well.
So you didn't have the back, like that wasn't known yet.
Correct.
Right. It was
correct.
Just,
yes.
It seemed like when his dad died, things kind of went.
Yeah. He was very close with his dad and it was tough on him. But I will say this, the first 2 years I worked for him, he won 8 times, 5 times the second year player of the year. So I know the guy can play. And then the back issues surfaced. And those were some tough times during those 4 years when he wasn't playing much. I wasn't doing much, so on and so forth. It got
so do you get paid when that's happening?
He took care of me during those 4 years.
That's nice.
But I'm old school. I want to earn my money. So I didn't feel bad about it. And it was great that he took care of me, but I felt bad not working. I mean, I want to be working. I want to take care of my wife and my kids and stuff like that.
Right.
And then I got a first name basis with the guys at the casino at Mohegan Sun. That wasn't good. I got to figure out what to do here.
They're pretty good at that.
Right.
They're like, hey, yeah, we got this couple tickets for a show tonight.
Right,
guys, we got a room
for you.
Joe LaCava's suite.
Right, exactly.
Right, yes.
And we kind of covered this. The agent called you or whatever. But did you have, what was the first conversation with Tiger? Like, I'm sure you already knew him. But then he calls, right?
Yeah, he calls me on a Saturday morning, believe it or not. I'm working the playoff events in 2011, and he says to me, are you interested in caddying for me at all? I said, well, of course I'm interested. Are you kidding me? You're the greatest player of all time.
I heard you said something different that you can't say on the radio.
I did, actually.
It was F, yeah.
Right, F, yeah, I'm interested.
Which
did you really say that?
I did actually say that.
That's cool. That's a golf term. That's a golf term, though.
Right.
I've heard Jack Nicklaus use it.
My man's used it a few times, too, as you guys all know.
Yes.
But anyways, we had a nice conversation, and we talked about our kids more than anything because he's got 2 kids, 10 years younger than mine, but the same age, boy and a girl and stuff like that. So we hit it off on that kind of stuff. And like you said, we knew each other from, you know, previous tournaments and stuff like that. And he gave me, you know, a shot, and everything worked out.
As a caddy, do you ever try to get inside another golfer's head? Like, oh boy, good luck today. This course is not good for someone like you.
I heard one guy died once.
Do you guys do that to one another?
Not really. I mean, as a caddy, you got to know your place. Maybe the players do it a little bit here and there, but as a caddy, you don't. But I always say, like, when the caddies are in the caddy hut before the tournament, you know, there's maybe some wind or rain coming. I said, you know, I always tell guys, I hope it blows 50, meaning, you know, I've got the best ball striker in the world that I'm caddying for, so I want tougher conditions where I think some of the other caddies want the softer conditions.
Gotcha. Yeah. So that's a little psycho.
A little bit, yeah. Why not?
Yeah, it's all in good
fun.
Got
to talk smack.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
When Tiger wins the Masters and he gets all this money, do you get part of that, or that's part of your salary?
As a caddy, you basically get a salary, which you hope covers your expenses, and then you work on a percentage. So you get a percentage of what he makes.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. No, that worked out. It was
good for you.
No complaints.
What kind of golfer do you have to be a top caddy, right? You can't suck.
Yeah, you can't. Most of the guys, the young guys now are very, very good. I'm kind of a middle-of-the-road guy. I'm a 7 handicap, so I can get it around the golf course.
Is that good?
It's decent. I mean, that's like high 70s. Yeah, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. So high 70s, low 80s, not bad.
I think
the reason I'm an okay caddy is because I love the competition. I absolutely hate to lose.
There you go, see?
So that's for me, that's more about the competition than the actual golf.
But you're also very humble. You know, I could tell just talking to you off the air, right? So you don't have, it doesn't seem like you have a big ego. You like to win, but it's balanced with.
Oh, yeah. No, I realize my place. I've never hit a shot, never made a putt. I tell you this funny story. Just the other day, I was at Market 32 in Oxford.
Yeah.
And I was getting some lunch meat because I had my buddies coming over to watch the Giants game. And the lady says to me, working in the deli at Market 32 in Oxford, she says to me, congratulations. And I'm thinking to myself, really? So she's congratulating me on the Hall of Fame thing that I just did. And I'm thinking to myself, she goes, and I kind of looked at her. I said, thank you. She goes, you know, you're kind of a really big deal around here. And I said to myself, well, that's very, very nice of you and thank you, but I don't think that's the case. But I think people get so jacked up about it, but I don't see that and don't realize that. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. But it was super nice that the lady said something.
At the deli.
Right. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Right. Well, she knows exactly who you are.
Right.
Well, no. She might congratulations. Your order.
Right.
Your order's up.
Your order's right. Congratulations.
You're a big deal around here.
Right.
Your
order's up.
That's probably what it was.
You're like, thank you very much. I work with Tiger Woods. Who's Tiger Woods?
Right.
I mean, your oven gold is ready.
Right. Exactly.
That's funny. Unruly fans, how crazy is that? And what do you think about that whole deal?
You know, it's a very small percentage. You know, Tiger, he has the biggest crowd, obviously. So he has local cops as well as PGA Tour security. And I've had a few issues with some fans. I don't want to, but I've had a few issues. And those guys always say, back off, let us handle. That's what we're out here for. But sometimes when you're off the golf course or off under the ropes, you know, the guys aren't there. The security's not there all the time, so you have to take matters in your own hand. I had a little incident in Ohio, like you talked about earlier, before I came on the air, and one fan was harassing Tiger. He hid under the tree. He was chopping it all day. He's miserable. I'm miserable. He's chopping it around. And Tiger ducks under the rope to go find his golf ball, and the guy's all over me. He goes, oh, Tiger, you look mad. You look hot. How about signing an autograph for me? I don't think you're going to do it right now. You're really playing bad today. You're riding for like 20 yards under the ropes.
Damn.
And finally, I said to the guy, listen, back off, pal. He goes, oh, listen, I bought a ticket. I can do whatever I want. I said, no, actually, you can't, because here's the deal. You're affecting my bottom line. Because if he hits a bad shot after you harass him, then I'm making less money. I've had enough of your act. He goes, well, give me $25 for my ticket. And I said, okay, here you go. So I happen to have a 20 and a 5, which were going to say, I wasn't going to wait
for
change.
I don't walk around with money. I have a problem.
Right. So
can I give you my MasterCard?
Nobody has cash anymore. Right. So I'm always a cash guy. So I give him $25, and he starts heading towards the green. And I said, whoa, that's not the way out. You just told me if I give you $25, you leave for the day. So he turns around and starts walking backwards, not walking backwards, but behind me. And he gets maybe 20 yards away from me. And all I hear out is, dumbass. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, boy, really?
Happy Gilmore?
What a jerk.
But he even got that wrong because it's jackass.
Jackass, yeah.
Right.
Well, he calls me a dumbass. So like a dumbass, I actually put the bag down and start running after him.
Nice.
I like
that.
So he was actually right.
Like
so we got face to face, and he says, what, are we going to go at it right here? And I said, well, if we have to, sure. And then the security broke it up. So very few incidents, but stuff like that happens.
That's nice.
Yeah.
See, that's what you want in a caddy.
Exactly.
Right? Well, paid him off, and then he didn't go.
Right. Pay him off and get him out of here.
We're ready to take care of it.
Phil Mickelson, that was with us, yeah.
Really?
I didn't know that, AJ.
Really?
That seems to be underreported.
I know, yeah.
Yeah. What's it like being around Tiger?
You know, it's great. He's low-key, unassuming guy. He's fun. He's actually got a good sense of humor if you can get him in a situation like this where he kind of trusts people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that circle of trust is very small. But
yeah, he has to be guarded, right?
Yeah. Once you're in it, you're golden. But if you're outside, it's going to be tough to get in there.
Yeah, because you're worried someone's going to, there's that sound bite, there's that little, you know, 10-second video or whatever. Yeah, so he probably can't. What's it like going out to a restaurant with
him? It's tough. We got to go at 5 o'clock and get the early bird special. Nobody's around.
Yeah,
not in a bad
4.
Way. Yeah, it's tough because he gets harassed. And people always, you know, the famous line, oh, I don't mean to bother you while you're eating. Well, you kind of are.
Yeah.
You
don't mean to, but you did.
Yeah. Can you take a picture or whatever? Well, you know what I mean? It's just, it's more hassle than it's worth. So basically, it's room service for him.
Or fast food drive-thru.
That's got to be tough.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, like, women would just throw themselves at him, right?
You know, women, you hear women yelling out, I love you, Tiger. Will you marry me? Stuff like that. You know, they're very, you know, he's obviously a good-looking guy. So people are attracted to him. The women like him. But I don't think they're throwing themselves at him. I mean, he's got a nice girl now down in Florida, and they're happy, so he's quite content.
When do you think he'll be back?
He's going to play late October in Japan, and then he's got a tournament in the Bahamas and the President's Cup in
December. How's he feeling?
He feels good. He had knee surgery, feels good. It was just minor, all cleaned up. He's ready to go.
Cool.
What's the most perfect shot you've seen him make so far?
Well, I mean, I have to go back to this year's Masters. I mean, the 17th hole is a tough driving hole for him. I don't know how much you guys know about it, but
zero.
They've added a lot of trees to it, and psychologically, it's not that easy a shot for him.
Yeah.
And he's got a couple shot lead, but guys in front of us are going to have birdie putts. and he hit this bullet driver down there to cut about a yard. You know, like I said, it was a drive, but it was probably the best drive under the circumstances I've seen him hit.
Did you know somewhere in that day that he was mentally in the right spot to do it?
He was very calm and collected. And the fact that, you know, the guy's got so much confidence, we talked about earlier, he flew his kids in that morning. Now, he could go on and not win the tournament, I get it. No one would really probably make a big deal of it. But the fact that he flew his kids in almost knowing, even though he wasn't leading going in, almost knowing, like, I'm going to play well today. I'm going to win this thing, and my kids are going to be there.
Nice.
That's
saying something.
That's
to me.
A good feeling.
Yeah. Right. You think?
So can you see a look in his eye?
Like, yeah, I mean, he's got the eye of the tiger. Focused. Yeah, and the fact that we played early.
Tiger, get it?
He's got the eye of the tiger.
Yeah, sure, it's Survivor playing behind
him. I'm sorry. I stepped on your... Because I was so happy with myself.
Yeah. No, to answer your question, very, very focused and ready to go. Kind of like a man on a mission that week.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. You just played the Sandy Hook tournament yesterday.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So that's you're from Newtown.
I'm from Newtown, grew up in Newtown, and you know, obviously we all know what happened there. And the Sandy Hook Fire Department has their annual tournament. Nice turnout. I think they had
my cousin Anthony's
golfers.
The assistant chief there. He just texted me that. That's how I knew you played.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you should have played with him.
See, what I do is not playing.
Yeah, no.
It's more like butchering.
And I'm worse.
I'm given
well, you're
being
12, but it's a scramble. I mean, you don't have to hit every shot perfectly. Right. Right?
Well, that's what we need. We need you, like, in our group, and then we can play best ball.
Exactly
right.
Year.
Okay,
all right. You're all over the golf course. Yeah. Sign me up. If I'm home, we'll play.
You've made your first mistake.
If I'm home, I said if I'm home, we'll play.
Okay, all right.
He's never home.
He doesn't have to be home.
I can't leave a tournament in Chicago, but right. If I'm home, I'm in.
We got to get some people who know about the sport to call in and ask some real questions.
Thank God.
we have Joe LaCava, caddy for Tiger Woods in studio. He's from Newtown.
Yes.
And a really nice guy. And I see part of his magic here just having him in studio. He's really curious about people. So he's asking more questions than, like, giving... You know?
Right.
So he's more interested in people.
Or he's really nosy, one of the two.
Right. but the Hall of Fame there, that speech, it seems to be legendary now.
Well, that's what I'm told. I mean, I had a few beers, I'm not going to lie to you, so that helped the cause a little bit.
Oh, I'm the same way.
Right.
I love you people.
Right. You got to do a little bit of that. But Tiger showed up, which was fantastic. I had like 12 caddy buddies show up. A couple legendary righties, Bob Verde from Chicago, showed up. So it was a fun night. It was easy. You know, they did a lot of laughing. I don't know if they had a lot of beers too or not, but everyone was laughing, having a good time. So it was a fun night.
How does that work? They call you or they send you a letter saying, congratulations, you're in this year's class of.
Yeah, basically they called me back in May, probably obviously because Tiger just won the Masters. That timing helped, and asked if I would do it. I actually at first didn't want to do it because I was like a little bit embarrassed by it. Like, you know, these guys are the show and I'm not. But my good friend Bones, who's in the Caddy Hall of Fame, used to work for Mickelson for 20-something years.
Bones.
Yeah, Bonesy. He insisted I do it, right. So I did it. And I'm glad I did it, as it turns out. But, you know.
Wow, I can't believe you're going to turn that down. So you wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, or you just wouldn't speak at the Hall of Fame induction ceremony?
Both.
Wow.
Well, no speaking, no interning.
You almost turned it down.
Well, I don't know enough about it. Like, I mean, now come to find out, it's kind of a big deal, and there's a decent amount of caddies in there that I know and respect and stuff like that. So looking back, it would have been stupid to turn it down. I just don't like the attention. Didn't want to draw the attention to me. These guys,
you're
are
not
reason.
That guy.
Yeah, I work for Hall of Famers. That's the reason I got elected to the Caddy Hall of Fame. So whatever.
But your speech, you knocked it out of the park there.
That's what I was told. I mean, like I said, people laugh and joke.
Well, how many beers did you have?
Right. Just a couple.
They were crowd surfing, for God's sake.
I'm a pretty decent beer drinker, but I just had a little scratch piece of paper that afternoon, wrote a few pencil remarks down, and kind of winged it, stuff like that. So it was easy.
So you
to
had
do,
bullet
fun.
Points.
Yeah, well, I guess you could call them. I don't even know what that is. I've never had a real job.
Right.
So whatever. I just had a few things that I wanted to mention and talk about the guys that I work for and stuff like that. So it was a really good night.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Tiger was there.
Tiger was there. My wife was not. It's a funny story. I actually kind of didn't tell her I was getting elected to the Caddy Hall of Fame. I said, I've got something I got to do for the Caddy Hall of Fame because I was so embarrassed by it. I didn't even want to
really?
Tell her.
Really?
Right.
What?
Get this thing. Get this thing. Yeah.
So she didn't talk to me for 3 days after that. She was so mad at me. And looking
kind of see that.
Everyone has said the same thing. I obviously screwed that one up. I should have told her that I was basically getting elected to the Caddy Hall of Fame and come on out and enjoy the moment. So I definitely screwed that one up, but, you know, I've screwed a lot of things up.
See, at least
So it's almost like your friends know not to bring up this Hall of Fame thing around her.
Yeah, yes, right. Exactly.
When you're doing over the house picnic, they'll say, hey, Joe, the Hall of Fame speech was great, man. Shut up, man.
Right. Keep it down, fellas. It didn't happen.
And get out of here. We've been looking for that speech. We can't find it.
No, I can't find it online.
Yeah.
It's been hidden.
Top secret.
Yeah. Phil, you had a couple things you wanted to ask Joe.
Well, so I'm really fascinated by athletes at their peak. And, like, Michael Jordan has this legendary sort of persona as, like, this on-court trash talker. No one was better at trash talking than Michael Jordan. And there are similar sort of stories about Tiger Woods. Is any of that true?
You know, it's different in basketball, obviously. A lot of trash talking in any other sport. It's not so much in golf, but he's not afraid to... I don't know if it's verbally or just physically give the guys a look to let them know that, you know, he's still the boss. He's better than everybody else, and you're not going to beat me to that
right.
kind of thing.
And you have to do that. You have to get in. It's like that moment right before a boxing match when you're looking into the fighter's eyes.
Yeah.
Can't look away.
Right.
I've seen him in interviews.
Right.
And he's always looked confident.
Right. Yeah. Very, very confident person. And like I said, if you won 81 times, you have reason to be confident, and you know you're going to beat these guys. So I think the other guys can just see that and sense it more than anything.
That commercial with his dad talking.
Right.
Like, I thought it was beautiful, but there was backlash. There's always backlash.
Of course there is.
You can't do anything without backlash.
Of course not.
What did you think of that?
When he's talking while he's trying to hit balls and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic. I think it comes from his military training. He was ahead of the curve in terms of doing stuff like that and thinking ahead of the box, outside the box and stuff like that. And getting Tiger just to be so incredibly focused. Because I think he also knew if this kid is going to be great someday, there's going to be millions of people following him, and he is going to have distractions. He needs to be focused, and he's very, very focused, laser-focused.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thanks
so much. Real honor to have you.
Well, thanks, guys. And I appreciate you having me.
Now, every time I see Tiger Woods, I'm going to say, I know someone who shook that guy's hand.
Right.
Right.
And there's Joe LaCava. Joe LaCava's now sitting here in the studio with us. And,
that's right. We should have done the whole interview.
Golf voice.
Like
right,
this.
Right. He's now looking at us right now, and
we're about to go to break.
The headphones are on, and it's kind of a nice sort of headphones on right there.
We're going to link up to the caddyhalloffame.org at WPLR.com just so people can go and check it out. It's really cool.
Absolutely.
Thank you, man. Veterans organizations based in Connecticut are holding a funeral ceremony Thursday to honor four U.S. veterans' unclaimed cremated remains. I don't know if there's anything sadder than that.
Very sad. Very, very sad.
It's organized by the Connecticut Department of Veterans Affairs, and the commissioner of that is on the phone right now, Thomas Soddy. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning. How are you?
Morning. Good, thank you. Thank you for what you do.
Yes.
No, gentlemen, Chaz and AJ, thank you for bringing attention to this incredibly important ceremony.
It's happening Thursday in Middletown?
Yes, Thursday in Middletown at our State Veterans Cemetery. The service begins at 10:30 a.m.
And the public is invited?
Absolutely. The public, and we've had many members of the public and veterans organizations to be represented from across the state.
And who are those being honored, and what happened? What's the story?
You know, these are four individuals that served our country in time of war. The earliest conflict is Frederick Walters served in the Spanish-American War. Edward Rudereau served in the U.S. Army in World War I. Beltram Lascelles served in World War I in the U.S. Army. And Melvin Colfers served in the U.S. Navy in World War II. And I said each of their names because it is incredibly important that their names are repeated and not forgotten. Because
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, you know, these veterans passed away without family or friends to honor them, and their cremated remains were left with funeral providers in Connecticut, some going back many, many decades, back to the 1950s.
Wow.
And, you know, while they were forgotten by those who were around them at that time, they are not forgotten by us because, you know, veterans and the public will gather from around the state on Thursday to remember them and, importantly, provide these four men with the military honors they earned in service to our nation in time of war.
How does that – so how does the where do these remains stay for so
that,
long?
That, you know, I knew you were going to ask that question. And for many years, there wasn't a process in Connecticut or in many states when a family or when an individual passed without family or when a family simply never claimed cremated remains from a funeral provider, they remained with the funeral provider very often. But some years back, state statutes started to change that in Connecticut, and even more importantly, with regard to these veterans who were whose remains were unclaimed, the Department of Veterans Affairs here in Rocky Hill and the Connecticut Funeral Directors Association began a partnership along with the Missing in America Project. And together, the CFDA, the Department of Veterans Affairs, and funeral providers from across the state now go through and identify any such remains, report them, and we have annually or biannually, whenever we have a group of these unclaimed remains, we then perform the appropriate military honors in interring them at our state veteran cemetery.
That's beautiful.
And to date, we have we have 26 unclaimed cremated remains as part of this new program, and this will bring us now to 30 individuals who were sadly forgotten, but will not be forgotten any longer.
There you go. I was just looking. Frederick Walters was born in 1874.
Wow.
Yes, and likely, you know, probably his father served in the Civil War. And this individual then in the Spanish-American War, he passed away in Waterbury in 1955. And since then, had been unclaimed by anyone. But now his brother and sister, veterans.
That's a long time. I mean, yeah. If you think about Eisenhower was in office.
Yeah.
The 1955 Chevy just came out.
Exactly.
I'm glad you're doing this. It's really important. That's why we wanted to have you on. So.
You know, and it's not just when you say, I appreciate that, thanks. It is the department here, it is our team here, but the Connecticut Funeral Directors Association as well as a whole team. And I have to really thank the Connecticut National Guard, Patriot Guard Riders, State, Middletown, and Rocky Hill Police, and the Middletown Fire District, all for coming together to support this ceremony, as well as U.S. Sub-Base New London. This is truly a team effort where, you know, it is so heartening when I'm there in these previous ceremonies and I can see veterans becoming emotional when they hear the names read, when we present the flags and present these remains literally with the Wartime Service Medal and lay it in front of their urn. It's very moving because you think that these individuals died alone, sadly, but now they will be interred with their brothers and sisters who are in our state veteran cemetery.
We thank you for coming on, and we thank you for what you do.
Yes,
and
thank you.
We're always here for you if there's anything we could ever do to help.
Now, Chaz and AJ, thank you so much. Appreciate all you do and the support that you provide for our veterans, and it is truly appreciated getting the word out in this important ceremony.
We're going to link up at WPLR.com. Commissioner Thomas Soddy, Connecticut Veterans Affairs, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, gentlemen.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.